I hate this music. I'm freaking out here this morning, Limits. Would you like to know why?
Of course.
My daughter just got her permit.
Congratulations.
Are
to her,
sure?
Maybe not
Are
you.
Are you sure about that? It's a disaster. It's an unmitigated disaster. She's doing okay. We drove home from the DMV yesterday, which is my version of hell, by the way. Could it be any worse than that, sitting in the DMV?
I've never had a good experience at the DMV. Maybe once the lady smiled at me and I felt good about myself.
It's absolutely horrifying. Anyway, I need to find sedatives or something, because when I get nervous, it makes everything worse, and then she panics, right? You can imagine that. Can you imagine me sitting in the front seat while she's driving? I get short of breath just thinking about it. She drove home from there, and then we just drove to school. She just drove herself to school. You ever see the movie Airplane? You ever see the pilot sweating buckets of water? I was him. I was him on the way to school today.
Did you teach your daughter how to drive?
I mean, sort of. You don't know till you get out there. And it's not even about her. It's about everybody else on the road.
Well, I'm sure you drove around in all the parking lots and side streets and little areas around town.
No, I didn't. And we didn't. And you realize then, or you realize now, the problem areas. It's like doing your own self-scouting here, right? You realize where the weakness is in the strike zone. You realize who you can pick on defense. You realize problems I didn't think of. The little problems are making right turns onto side streets. She's making them wider than George Pickens on his routes.
Or Deontay Johnson running backwards.
Yeah, exactly. So if cars are coming out of our little neighborhood, she's making such a wide right turn into the neighborhood that there's potential for a collision. That's problem number one. Problem number two, stop signs. She does stop at them, which is good. But there's lots of situations out there, Limits, where you stop at the stop sign and that tells you nothing about who's coming in three different directions. You have to stop. There might be a hedge. There might be, in our case, there's a house at the corner of our street. You stop and then you edge up and take a look and then go. She's more in the stop and go mode. It's what Sully wants Evgeny Malkin to do in the defensive zone. Not the circling, the stop and go. That's what she does. She figures if she stops at a stop sign and doesn't see anybody, she can go. She floors it after that. You have to stop and then creep up and take a look. Do you know what I mean there?
I know exactly what you mean. There are a couple of streets that I can just think of off the top of my head where you're just peering around the corner to make sure that fence isn't in the way.
Right. Exactly. That's a problem that needs to be shored up. And then finally, there's the whole switching lanes thing. She doesn't know which lane she's in. And I must say, I've never noticed that here in Pittsburgh, at least in the Dormont, Green Tree, Mount Lebanon, where else am I here? Wherever else we are here, there's lots of streets where it's not clear whether it's one lane or two lanes. And if you're in the right lane or the left lane limits, have you noticed that?
There's some weird intersections just on 51, and I think we're thinking of maybe the same intersection by that Rite Aid.
Or if you Baldwin, and it's not anywhere near what I'm talking about. 51?
Yes.
Where?
That intersection right near where one way you can go.
Is there a way to detonate 51 and start all over?
You hate 51.
Find the person who invented it, arrest them, and then start over.
By the old St. Norbert's Church. One way you're on that road that goes all through Bethel. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, that's not where I'm talking about. You're in Bethel now. You're in Bethel Park. I'm in Dormont. I'm in Greentree. And Scott, that's the other place, and Mount Lebanon.
This road is right near Greentree.
Okay, then I stand corrected.
Oh, well.
Is it unclear which lane you're in when you're on that street?
When you're turning to a different lane, sometimes, yes.
She kept saying, am I in the right lane or the left lane? Where should I be? I said, I don't know. There's no lane marking. It feels wide enough to be two, but skinny enough to be one.
I can't imagine you trying to teach your daughter how to drive, being like, hey, this lane right here, turn.
It hasn't been good, but I've been trying because we're all at peril when she's on the road. And I know that if I freak out like that, it gets exponentially worse. So I've been doing a hell of a coaching job through two games here. Driving home from the DMV and then to school today. Inside, I'm losing my mind. But if you heard me, I'm very measured. Very measured in my coaching.
You keep your cool.
Yeah, but those are the three problem areas, and I didn't necessarily expect that to be the case.
Have you thought about a driving instructor?
Yes, I have limits, and they're on a two-month limit, ironically. So that doesn't do me a lot of good. Like I told the lady, I said, that doesn't help me between now and the middle of December. What are we doing here? There could be multiple accidents between now and then.
Try not to think that way.
I know.
I always try to think positive mentality, positive attitude will lead the way.
I know.
Until you come up with something negative.
Speaking of positive, well, first of all, you okay today?
Everything I'm great.
All right?
Yeah, I'm doing really well.
I know. I was a little cranky this morning. I know.
Joe, I'm waiting for you to call in and prank call me on one of the shows that I'm hosting.
I thought
I have one
it.
Tonight.
In fact, I thought the other day, I heard you on Sunday, was it?
Yes.
As Titus from Titusville. I was going to call you, and then I thought better of it. I thought I'm just going to leave my little limits alone today and let him do his show.
I know it's coming. I've been on high alert.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you like I got Pomp.
I thought that you called in, actually, to prank me on Sunday. I saw a name pop up that I was like, that might be Joe.
What
and I was about
name?
To take
Anything
it.
Anything you can say on the radio?
I can't remember the name.
Oh, okay. I still get people coming up to me and talking about Filippone as George in Washington. And I'm a little bit jealous because all the times that I successfully got through and then he took the cake with George in Washington and Pomp, I'm still like floored. I don't care where Pomp was on remote. I don't care if he was on remote from somewhere in Southeast Asia or somewhere, you know, on any other continent. Wherever he was on remote, that was no excuse for him to let George and Washington in. People can't get over that. Or Tony. They can't get over it. But as I was saying before, speaking of positivity, let's open with a six-pack here and what could be a very, very momentous night over at the Paint Can. By the way, have we decided on a nickname for that joint? That sounds stupid, the Paint Can.
I'm
already sorry I said it. Yeah. Strike that from the record.
Well, I remember when it first was renamed from Consol to PPG Paints Arena, and everybody was having such a hard time trying to say the name of the arena.
No, everybody said the console. Meet me at the console. It was actually better. As far as little nicknames of you know, where we live in an 8-character world, nobody's going to say, meet me at PPG Paints Arena. Meet me at PPG, I guess. By the way, I saw an interview with Tom Werner the other day. Did I mention this on the show last week?
I don't think so.
Or this week? He doesn't even know the name of the arena, for God's sakes.
Yeah. You did bring this up with Josh Getzoff.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Josh did a wonderful interview. I don't know. Something just feels very corporate and non-familial, if that's a word. I had a former Penguins executive tell me when this whole thing was going down with Fenway that Penguins fans, Pittsburgh likes the family feel. This feels corporate. Now, if you win, nobody cares. I understand that, but they're not winning, first of all. And secondly, when this guy, it felt like he was flown in to do an interview on his own team and didn't even know the name of the arena. He called it PPG Paint Arena. It's paints, plural, right?
And it's right there on the top of the sign on the Jumbotron, too. It's right there.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy. He seems like a wonderful man, but just nobody knows him. And that's kind of the point. It's just, it felt like he stopped in and did everybody a favor by doing a quick interview on his way back out of town. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who feels that way. I feel like it's corporate. What's the word? In what?
Crinculent.
No, incrinculent is a wonderful word. Yes. It doesn't have the familial feel. I'll think of the word that I'm looking for. I'm sorry. It just feels that way. I guess that was our first item. Let's get to our second one and the better news. This could be an absolutely momentous day at the old Puck Yard because you have Sid going for his 1,600th point. And I think more notably, just because of the nature of the milestone, you have Gino going for his 500th goal. And can you imagine if we saw those on the same night, how cool that would be? And I was thinking on the drive in here, after I survived her drive to school, I can't believe that these guys are all still here, this trio, Letang, Sid, and Gino, and that they're all still good hockey players. They are. And you saw Gino and Letang combine on a great goal the other night. Sure, they have ups and downs. Those two in particular, they have them. But I was a young man when they got here. I remember interviewing those guys at, forget about PPG Paint Arena or the console. This was back at the Igloo, for God's sakes. A million years ago. Interviewing those guys, talking to them. They're still here. By all rights, at least two of them should be retired by now, because especially with their injury histories and in Letang's case, having a stroke. I mean, it truly is incredible, and it truly is to be marveled at and appreciated. And even with disappointing finishes, man, you just have to feel lucky. If you're a Penguin fan, you have to feel lucky. I remember Gino's first game like it was 10 minutes ago when he got smuggled out of Finland, I believe it was. Do you remember that whole story?
Of course.
And he arrives and then he scores against Brodeur, of all people, in his first game in Pittsburgh. And here we are a million years later. And all three of those guys, let's put it this way, even if they're not in their offensive primes anymore, Sid is still great. And Gino and Letang are still good, and they're still capable on any night of doing special things. Gino's off to a great start this year. And he's just one of my all-time favorite Pittsburgh athletes anyway. You know, I think if he's ever been guilty of anything, it's caring too much. Caring too much and trying to do too much. And he wears his heart on his sleeve like as much as any athlete that I've seen in this town. And these guys are all champions in spite of the way recent seasons have finished. They're champions, and you know that by the way that they've prepared to come back for this season, which combined, they've played more than 50 of these things. But it looks to me like Gino's in great shape. Letang is a conditioning freak, and so is Sid. I just, tonight, I think, even no matter what happens, just going into the game is a night to appreciate those three. Thoughts, limits?
Well, I feel like that has always been the case, but especially more heightened and highlighted now. And it seems to be that is the focus over last year, this year, because, I mean, the historic milestones for Malkin and Crosby are going to speak for themselves. I mean, I would imagine they're going to happen tonight. So I don't want this to be, I don't want this season to be so much of just a remembrance and a last ride, because that's really what I think next year is going to be when Malkin's in his final year.
But maybe an appreciation.
Sure.
Especially tonight. And wouldn't it be cool if Sid assisted on Malkin's 500th? If that was the first goal tonight, or the first point for each guy in the game.
Or the game-winning goal.
Oh, that's even better. And thank you, Limits. Gino would become the 48th player to get 500 goals. He's right behind Lanny McDonald. He's right behind John Beliveau, I should say, for God's sakes. And also Joey Mullen is squeezed in there. And then Sid, not a lot of players have gotten 1,600 points in the NHL. It's sort of, you know, just a nice even round number. It's not one of those that you celebrate wildly, I don't think. You know, like 1,000, 1,500, 2,000. You know what I mean, right? He's already 10th. There are only 10 players in the history of the game with 1,600 points. Next up is Joe Sakic at 1,641. You figure Sid will catch him this year. And guess who's next for him to catch, little limitless wonder?
Our old friend Sidney Crosby.
He's the one doing the catching. He's the one I'm talking about. Mario. Mario's at 1723.
Wow.
So that figures to be next year that Sid would catch him, plus his boyhood idol, Steve Yzerman, at 1755. Where does this go? Maybe give me one there. Give me another click, another can. Where does Sid get to? He's at 1600, basically. Okay? Gretzky is in another universe at 2857. How many more points for Sid? How many more seasons? How many more points?
I think he plays four more years. I think there's a little bit more added on to the contract that he just signed.
Yeah.
And I think he gets to about 1,900. I think he gets right around.
How about 300 more points for Sid? Is that outrageous?
Not at all. I think he might get to Yager.
I think five more years and 300 more points is not outrageous.
Which means he's right at Yager at two.
Right.
He could finish
second.
And
if you're at Yager, you got to catch Yager, right?
Right.
So Sid has a very realistic chance to fly past Yzerman, Dion, Francis, Gordie Howe, Messier, and Yager. Holy horse follicles. Next. Thank you, Limits. And let's move on to football, shall we? We have a miracle to celebrate. All credit to Josh Rountree for this again. And to who's the gentleman from Inside Edition who called us yesterday? The Pittsburgh guy?
Yeah, you're talking about Stephen Fabian, right?
Yeah, Stephen Fabian.
Yeah, he was great.
Was he named after Fabian the Entertainer, I wonder?
I wonder. It was his last name, so maybe they're related.
So do I. And he went into show business, so to speak. He was doing a special on hayrides and the safety of hayrides for
New
Inside
York.
Edition. Seems like a great guy, too, and a very keen sports observer. And I'm totally forgetting why I mentioned his name. Oh, because Josh Rountree, when Davante Adams had this, in quotes, hamstring injury that was keeping him out of the Raiders lineup, there were people, even on this station, lending credence to that crap. Diana Rossini was even pushing that. Oh, this is real. He's week to week. Oh, really? And Rountree went on a couple weeks ago and said, this is going to be a Willy Wonka story. And if you've seen the original Willy Wonka, and Steve Fabian and I agree that it never should have been remade, much like The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds. The original Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder, I thought this happened at the end of the movie. Fabian corrected me. At the beginning of the movie, the kids who got the golden ticket, you remember them singing about that? I got the golden ticket. Remember that song?
Probably the most iconic part of the movie.
It's a wonderful song. They all go to the mansion, the house where Willy Wonka lives, and they're thinking this is this, you know, scary, and maybe he was in some ways, recluse. And he feeds into that notion when he comes out of the house with a cane, limping, walking very slowly, and then he gets to the gates and he thrills them all by throwing away the cane and doing a somersault and a dance, I believe. Rountree said, this is going to be Davante Adams the minute he arrives in New York with his week-to-week hamstring injury, which just happened to come down like 8 seconds after he requested a trade. So here's Willy Wonka, a.k.a. Davante Adams, on the McAfee Show with Aaron Rodgers yesterday when asked if he'll be ready for the Steelers.
I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great. Getting, I was working with the staff over in Vegas the whole time, and they got me back right. So, fortunately, I'll be able to roll. And I'm sure there's a few new, little nuances, but for the most part, a lot of the same verbiage. Still the same OG right here. So should be able to pick up where we left off. You know, that's the idea.
I got the golden ticket. You know this guy was going to be ready. He's going to be flying out of the gates like Usain Bolt in this game. And anybody who fell for that one, my God, what else will you fall for? Limits. That George Pickens has actually tried his best this year? Because that's the crap he was peddling yesterday. Whose show was he on? I forget.
He was on The Facility on FS1.
Yes. Saying he's been... See, here's the thing. And I've mentioned on a couple... Give me another one, would you please? This is a different topic.
Yes, the system just rebooted up.
That's
real quick.
Okay. Do one, make up one. Can you do things like that? Thank you. It's not about George Pickens the person. You know, a lot of us at 23 years old do things we regret and make mistakes and all of that. But one of the problems is he doesn't seem to realize that anything's gone wrong. Last year at the goal line in Indy, he refused to block for a teammate and then came out and instead of saying, man, that was bad, I've got to be better than that, he came out and said, yeah, I didn't want to get hurt. There was another play this year, I forget who it was, limits, some other player who got hurt on a play like that when someone fell on the back of his leg. Bad answer. Now this year, there's tape of him half-assing it against the Cowboys. Irrefutable tape. The tape don't lie, as they say. And he doesn't seem like he's regretful about that, even though that loss could come back to haunt them. And who knows what his half-assing it did to their ability to win that game. That's the part that bothers me about George Pickens. It really does. And I think Doug Whaley and the guy spoke to that this morning about, I think Doran said it, that when you have consistent problems like that, issues acting out, it's because you were enabled. And it sure doesn't seem like there was any tangible. Well, maybe it does. I guess he got benched. Do we even know? Does he even know if he got benched in the Cowboy game? I don't know if there was no acknowledged punishment for him apparently being late to work multiple times this season and then not trying in parts of the Cowboys game. There was nothing the Steelers ever publicly acknowledged. In fact, Tomlin, Artie Smith, trying to think who else, ran cover for him. The players, all the guys interviewed about him acknowledged there had been a problem. The coaches and Pickens himself really didn't. So call me crazy, but even if he has a great game this weekend and a few more, I think those problems might resurface. And again, for the 1,000th time, the Pickens topic always is discussed in the context of, do you want to give him $100 million or thereabouts? Because that's what he's going to want. Right now, no, thank you. And that brings up more receiver questions. Please, limits next. Devontae Adams with his old buddy Aaron Rodgers and the Bills sneak in. And obviously, these two situations directly impact the Steelers on multiple levels. One, those could be two of your competitors for the playoffs, right? And two, although one of them probably win the division, but one of the two is likely to be a competitor for one of those precious wild card spots. And two, did they need receivers more than you do? Like the Steelers, I hope, were in on both those guys. Reportedly in on Adams. I don't know if they had a hope to get Cooper from the Browns. Maybe the Browns weren't going to deal with an AFC North team. I don't know about that. All I know is that two pretty good teams in the AFC have radically upgraded their receiver situation while the Steelers are throwing to Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson, or not, as the case may be, and then another guy who sometimes doesn't try. Seems problematic to me. Limits, you?
There was never going to be an in-division trade between the Steelers and the Browns. Like, it just was not going to happen. So that one you can kind of scratch off a little bit. But yeah, those two teams get better while the Steelers continue to look on. And it feels kind of similar to me than what we saw with the Pirates trade deadline this year, where the top options off the board just continue to go one by one by one, and the Pirates are left with Brian De La Cruz. The Steelers might be left with just Christian Kirk.
I'll take Christian Kirk. I like Christian Kirk, but I understand what you're saying.
He's fine, but he's not top of the line guys who were available.
Now, Cooper's having a weird year. I don't know if he was shutting it down in Cleveland. I think he's at the top or near the top in drops.
He is the top.
Well,
he's been there at the top a lot in terms of drops in his career.
Has he?
Yes. That's one of his main problems in Dallas.
I'm gonna need to see proof of that.
Okay.
He's great. That's what I think of Amari Cooper. And I was reading Mary Kay Cabot today, and it seemed like he couldn't wait to get out of there. And I wonder if that affected his performance. And that is just a giant, giant move by the Bills, who, again, could be a direct competitor this year for a playoff spot. But here's my question for you, a limitless wonder. Who's going to have the better season from here on out, Cooper or Adams? Wrong.
Adams.
Why?
Well, I think the familiarity of Aaron Rodgers will be one good thing. I wonder if I think having Garrett Wilson with him is going to be a significant factor. I mean, Buffalo's main targets are who? Dalton Kincaid, Shakir, and
nobody.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen in the running game has been probably their best rusher. So that's why I think
the golden ticket. I think I love that song and I love that movie. Did you? Did you cry at that movie, the original?
No.
The disturbing part is that the girl whose face becomes purple and all that, the spoiled girl. Remember her from the movie?
I only watched bits and pieces of the movie, not the full movie. Enough to keep up.
We should watch it together on our way to the hayride where Steve Fabian is.
We'll just continue to add more things to the plate that we're supposed to do we haven't done yet.
Wait a second. This is addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Limits. Didn't you have your son watch the original Willy Wonka? What's happening over there, Limits?
We watched a lot of sports.
I mean, that's a must.
We watched a lot of Fast and Furious movies.
That's like telling me you never saw the original Grinch, the cartoon special, the Christmas special.
I watch that every year.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
we are huge Christmas movie fans.
What's the best Christmas movie? It's been a banner year in the Bechtold household.
Yes.
You know where that line's from?
No.
Wrong. The Breakfast Club. What's your favorite Christmas special?
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
We love that one, too.
That and We Love Elf.
Yeah.
We love Elf.
Elf is great. You know what's underrated? Christmas with the Cranks.
Yes. We have that movie.
I love that movie. What's her name's in it? I can't remember her name.
Yes, what's her name? Home Alone, also. Very good movie. And it makes me start to really be excited about Christmas. And Cavalli already put up his tree.
Kevin! I love that movie.
Kevin! they're on the plane. They forgot Kevin in the attic.
And now she's on those credit card commercials. She's one. Is that the same lady?
Are you thinking of Jennifer Gardner?
No. Jennifer Gardner? She would have been like one at the time of the
Home
Alone.
What's in your wallet?
Yeah, that's different. No. What? Jennifer Garner?
No, it's not. That's who I thought you were thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, she yells Kevin in the credit card commercial, too. Wait a second. Who's in Christmas with the Cranks? Something's gone wrong. I'm short-circuiting.
You're thinking of Catherine O'Hara.
Whatever they're serving back in the office is really powerful. No, I'm thinking of Jamie Lee Curtis from Christmas with the Cranks. And Tim Allen. That's who's in that movie.
Yes, you are.
What about Rudolph? Is that a favorite?
Oh, we watch Rudolph my dad cries every year at Rudolph, and sometimes I do too.
Wait, so you and your dad are sitting there crying during
Rudolph?
No,
not really crying, but when they sing that song, There's Always Tomorrow for Dreams to Come True, a very emotional moment in the Bechtold household.
You kind of remind me of Herbie the Dentist.
Herbie the Dentist?
Yes, you do. You're a fledgling.
I am just a misfit. That's where I fit in.
I think it's especially sad. I think the saddest part of that movie is when the flying instructor reprimands Rudolph and he can't fly. It's not his fault. The nose is getting in the way. And then he gets reamed out by the coach. Remember the coach, the flying coach?
Yes, of course.
You and your
dad. Wasn't
it
Donner, the flying coach?
No, the flying coach is a retired reindeer. He retired.
Right, Donner the reindeer.
No, Donner
and Blitzen.
Donner and Blitzen they were active in the movie. They were on the active roster. The guy who was coaching them was clearly retired. He was an older gentleman. Was he a reindeer?
I thought so.
Yeah. Go look up that part right there. Of course, we're not allowed to play it. Where were we? Why did we start this? What are we talking about?
It was Comet.
Comet. Yeah.
I knew it was one of the active reindeer.
Yeah, they raised his number in the rafters, I think, Comet. Do you and your dad cry during that scene?
Not during that scene, no. When they're bullying Rudolph? How dare they bully Rudolph, Joe?
I love that scene.
Some people tried to cancel Rudolph, by the way. How dare they? It's such a good movie.
What's wrong with him?
Because they were bullying Rudolph.
Oh, well, isn't it a story of overcoming bullying?
Yes, Rudolph overcame it and became the best reindeer
His girlfriend's name?
Wasn't it Clarice?
Clarice.
Yeah.
Did they get married? They should have put out a Rudolph, too.
I don't know if there's, like, arranged marriages or proposals with reindeer in Rudolph. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
There's a lot of money, I think, in Rudolph. That could still come out, Rudolph.
Rudolph, too.
Update it like they do with the Brady Bunch things. Like Rudolph and his family 40 years later. Now, now he's the flying instructor.
Which one was better, Home Alone or Home Alone 2? There's a lot of good debate behind that. Home Alone 2 was good.
Usually the sequel sucks. Home Alone 2 was actually pretty good.
Lost in New York. Very good. The Wet Bandits, some of the best of all time of villains in any movie.
I think that Amari Cooper is going to have the better rest of the season for one real simple reason. His quarterback is way better than the Jets quarterback. End of story, Wonder Twin. Coming up, let's finish the six-pack by getting into a couple of quotes from people around the country on the Steelers' apparent quarterback decision. We got a lot of treats ahead today. We have the big boy, Mark Cabali, coming in off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. Well, I told you, Cabali. Plus, we're efforting a man from New York who covers the Jets. There's no shortage of drama there. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And our six pack, which we're in the middle of, is brought to you by Bet365. All right, Wonder Twin. I'm going to tell you now about FanDuel and another big week in the NFL. No better place to get in on the action than on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge, America's number one sports book. You'll get started with $300 in bonus bets if you win your first five. Didn't the one girl float to the ceiling in Willy Wonka? What am I thinking of? She had too much gum.
I'm not a Willy Wonka aficionado.
It was either, I can't remember if it was the spoiled boy or the spoiled girl, and as to teach them a lesson, they started blowing a bubble and it became like a hot air balloon and took them to the top of the room.
The text line loves this conversation, by the way. They keep texting in about Christmas music and Christmas movies. The Santa Claus is the best movie.
What's
four
the
Christmases.
One with, my name is Heat Miser, King of the Sun. What is that one? That's underrated.
You're thinking of one of the Tim Allen movies, right?
I don't know what
one
I'm thinking
of. One of the Tim Allen Santa Claus movies?
I think it's Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and that's a great song. It's underrated. That's the Phil Garner of Christmas specials right there. That and Christmas with the Cranks, which I love.
Consistent and steady.
Does your family watch the Hallmark movies?
Oh, don't get me started on that. That is so
Nobody's
funny.
Ever been...
No,
it's
that so is so funny you said that. That is so funny you said that because we're watching... My dad and I watch NCIS all the time. That's, you know, you can call us...
Do you
me
cry?
Being
Do
old.
You cry together
No, that's
that?
A great show. We've been watching that together since I was like a freshman in high school. And we were watching TV and, you know, he looked at me and he said... The Hallmark movies are coming back soon. And I was like, not the Hallmark movies are so cringeworthy.
Oh, you couldn't find
they're good, but they're so cringeworthy.
More polar opposite of what's going on inside our household. Nobody there ever gets angry at anything.
At your household?
No, in the Christmas specials. Oh. We're angry 24 hours a day. We're throwing things at each other. We're yelling at each other. You should see before we go to school in the morning. It's unbelievable. And these things, nobody even gets mildly irritated.
No, like
the job market is constantly changing. And at Bowling Green State University, we're evolving too. Working with industries to develop innovative majors in education, engineering, business, and healthcare that will give you an edge when you enter the workforce. BGSU is ranked as the number one public university in Ohio for career preparation by the Wall Street Journal. Personalized career coaching, networking opportunities, and hands-on immersive learning set you up for success. That's the BGSU experience. Learn more at bgsu.edu/careerready.
You could do, they could completely screw up the group project for like the big, the Christmas house that they're making, the gingerbread house,
right.
There's the word.
Yeah.
It could fall over, or somebody could knock into it and break the whole thing, what they've worked on for half a year.
Right.
That's okay, we'll fix it.
You could burn down somebody's house in one of those Hallmark things.
It's fine.
That won't ruin our
A year
our
without
Christmas.
A Santa Claus is the Heat Miser, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Any reaction limits to our first segment? I got a tweet, somebody saying it's a common misperception that on Rudolph, the dentist's name people think is Herbie. It's Hermie.
It is Hermie.
Which I assume he's Herman, and then he must have played hockey. They call him Hermie. Is that right? Hermie?
Yeah. It's very easy to confuse them.
Sure
and then
it is.
Our friend Chris, good friend of the show, says, don't let Joe compare you to Hermie the dentist.
I think it's a compliment. limits.
I am just a nitwit. That's where I fit in.
No, I think the comparison comes in that, like Hermie the dentist or the fledgling dentist, the dentist hopeful, you are a bright-eyed optimist who wants really good things for your life. You're very ambitious. He wanted to be a dentist. You're on your way to great things in the radio business. I see a comparison there that I think is complimentary.
When you put it that way, I would agree, yes. And I remember Hermie the dentist, the guy who was bullying Hermie. Well, I probably wasn't bullying him, but just trying to keep him in line. You have to make toys. You're an elf. Make toys.
Yeah.
He eventually
didn't want to be pigeonholed like
He eventually was one of the first clients of Hermie the dentist. How about that turn of events? You like that one, Horace?
That's irony.
Very ironic.
Which can sometimes be difficult to define, but from now on, whenever anybody asks me to define irony, I'm bringing up that example. It's wonderful. Limits.
Very glad. Added on to the list of names from Wonder Twin.
Chris.
Twin Peaks. Chris.
Yeah. Go ahead and crack one more. I think our six-pack is turning into a seven-pack, but this is the old salad drawer beer that you save for 3 a.m. when everybody thinks the beer is gone.
It's the Baker's Dozen beer.
Pat Narduzzi, named to the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year watch list. I mean, I think that's significant. I think this whole Pitt story is significant. He's coming off a horrendous year, and you're looking at a change in athletic directors, right? Those two things are not good for any current head coach anywhere of any sport. Horrible year, athletic director changes. Not a good combo. But Narduzzi has started 6-0. Pitt for the first time since, what, 82? They're ranked 20th. They have a very interesting game coming up against Syracuse after a nice little break here. Syracuse beat then number 23 Georgia Tech. They beat then number 25 UNLV. They've been good, man. They're 5-1. They had a very narrow loss to Stanford. So that's on a Thursday night, and I know Stanford hasn't been real good. But that's a huge game. And then I think SMU after that, right?
Yeah, and SMU is ranked.
So this is opportunity here. And good for Narduzzi that he's off to a great start, and he's on this list. How do you think this Pitt season winds up, Limits?
Well, I think we know who Pitt is. They're a team that's going to be identified by Narduzzi's defense doing enough to win, but Eli Holstein in this offense is going to be the main catalyst for it. That wasn't the case in the last game.
Well, yeah, so in that case, they wouldn't be known for Narduzzi's defense. The defense played great last game. The calling card of this team has mostly been
Eli Holstein.
And needs to be the quarterback.
And we're going to learn a lot more about Eli Holstein in this SMU game, Syracuse prime time, and then eventually the one you circled on the calendar at the very start of the year, Clemson at home.
Yes.
Because if you win that game, even if you drop a game to SMU on the road or Louisville on the road, you're talking about you beat Clemson, you are very likely going to the ACC championship game.
This is good stuff, man. I mean, you get to Clemson undefeated, and lots of people are going to have you on that bracketology. Pat Forty already did. I don't know if he followed it up this week. But last I checked, last week, he had Pitt as an at-large playing at number whatever it is, Indiana. I think Pitt was a 9 seed on his list. Can you just imagine? Just imagine in that tiny little brain. I'm sorry, that was an insult. It's only because of your stature I said tiny brain. You're actually a smart man.
Understood.
Can you conceive of Pitt Penn State at Beaver Stadium?
Yes, and I've talked about it before. I talked about it last weekend a couple of times and asked a couple of people about it. Like, that would be, first thing that pops into my mind is how much would tickets be? And the next thing that pops into my mind is I don't care.
You'd be there.
That is one of those legacy type of, like, I didn't get a chance to go to the 2013 wild card game, and that is one that I always regret. Now I was 12 years old, but I always think to myself, if moments like that happen again and come up again, I don't care what it's gonna take, as long as it's not like $1,000, I will be there.
That needs to happen. It needs to happen. And they'll it answer me this, because I haven't looked at it closely enough maybe to answer. Will this bracketology be very formulaic, or will there be a little leeway like there is in NCAA basketball to get creative and look for good matchups. Look for Dixon versus Howland. Look for a little rivalry game, whatever. Like they might do in basketball, where you look down the bracket and you see, oh yeah, they set that up intentionally for good reason to get more eyes on that game. Do you think there's room for that in this bracketology to say, yeah, it could be Pitt against that team or it could be Penn State against that team, but why don't we sort of nudge this rivalry game? Why don't we get Pitt Penn State here in the first round?
Possibly. It's a lot easier with a 68 team field, and when five of these, and it's the first time that this is happening in the college football playoff. Like, it's new to everyone.
Does it have to be? In other words, is it? You know, you have your buys, and then you have the next ranked team against number 11, 12, whatever.
That would flow a lot better. Like, if it's a...
But is that a demand? Does it have to be that way? Is it mapped out that way, or is there room? I don't know.
I think there's some room. There's wiggle room if Pitt and Penn State are both teams ranking from 5 to 11.
If they're both at large bids,
correct.
Right?
Yes, if they're both 5 to 11 in that at-large category, because the 12th is going to go to the next group of 5 team.
We can dream, can't we, Limits?
Yes. Why not?
I mean, like I said a few weeks ago when we talked about this, you have license to dream anything you want. You have license to talk crap until you lose a game. Say anything you want. You can dream anything you want. It's not unrealistic right now. It's not a pipe dream. It's the type of dream you have where there's realism to it.
And we were realistically a minute away from both of those dreams ending.
I know.
You know, like if Cal's...
But that only underscores how close we might be getting to.
Yeah, Cal's 40-yard field goal doesn't flutter in the air, or USC doesn't have a bad last drive when they could have kicked a game-winning field goal in regulation.
That Cal coach, boy, he was something in that game. Pitt should have carried him off the field at the end. What was he doing?
The band is on the field.
The coach... It could have had Joe Starkey, my namesake. He was the guy who called the band on the field play. They could have had him come on special and say, the Pitt players are carrying, what's his name? What's the Cal coach's name?
I don't remember.
Off the field. This is a twist. What was he doing, Limits? Going for two early in the game?
He's dumb.
And then he had to chase that? It's always a bad sign when you have the same number of touchdowns and field goals as the other guys, and there's no safeties involved, and you somehow don't have as many points. What the hell is he doing?
I called a game earlier this year. It was CMU football. They had a field goal, a touchdown, and like two safeties to factor it into like a 21-14 game at some point in the fourth quarter. It was hilarious. But
do
yeah,
you call those games on the radio?
They're on TV.
On TV?
Yeah.
The CMU games?
Yes. Well, this week it's Grove City at W&J, which is a really good game.
Do you know I got my start covering games like that? And
no.
That E.J. Borghetti, now famous of Pitt, was CMU's, what would you say, sports communication?
SID.
Yeah. He was their SID.
I didn't know that.
That's how far back we go. Look at us now, Limits.
We should go to this Syracuse Thursday night game. I really want to go to that.
Maybe we can hit the hayride on the way there?
Yes.
And report back to Stephen Fabian.
It might be an hour-long journey, but we'll take it.
Is that his name?
Stephen Fabian, yes.
Yeah. Coming up. Hear what Ian Rapoport and others, including Ben, have to say about the Steelers quarterback situation. I'm surprised. Not that there's one camp against the other. I think cases can be made for both. I'm surprised at the vehement backing of Justin Fields to the point where Pony and others are saying you're just out of your mind. If you think anything other than Justin Fields should start this game, let's talk about that, Chris, shall we? 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest, run every Wednesday through Friday at noon. At the 93.7thefan.com contesting page, we also have the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. Maybe he was there when Devontae Adams was there yesterday. Does he travel? Does he travel to that show, Limits?
No.
Does he ever make live appearances? Has he done that? We'll ask him.
Yes, we should. Well, remember, he was invited down to join them in their suite down in Indianapolis. Big Ben was there, but Cavalli didn't go.
He didn't. What is he doing? I mean, that would make for a good story. If
he
nothing
had to
else,
work.
You interview Ben. Forget about working. That is working. You put on your website a one-on-one with Ben. He's gone nuts. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevy, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 53 today with cloudy skies. Paul was ready to sell his current home and find a new home and knew that because the current real estate market was so challenging, he didn't want to do it on his own. So we contacted Gina for help. That was a good move by our friend Paul, the protagonist in this story. And he's very glad he did. Paul said he didn't realize the importance of having a top-notch real estate agent until he worked with Gina. And he said Gina's knowledge, efficiency, and flexibility made all the difference. Gina was able to quickly sell Paul's Highland Park home for over $750,000. And she was also able to help Paul find his forever home. If you're ready to sell your home or buy one or both, be sure to contact Gina. You can't lose. She sits down with you. You agree on a price and a deadline. Deadline passes. Home isn't sold. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh. Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Call Gina. 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com. Oh, we have the general on the line. I thought you forgot to call him.
He always calls us.
I was going to let you off the hook there. All right. General Patton, we like to call him. Jeff Patton of the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It is indeed time for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your chance to win comes from going on our website right around noon today through Friday, 93.7thefan.com. Limits, do you have a guess as to the Card of the Week?
I'm going to say Russell Wilson. Welcome to the party this week is the Card of the Week.
What a wonderful man you've become. I'm going to say Evgeny Malkin. Excuse me, going for his 500th goal tonight. General, how are you, and what do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me today.
I'm sorry that Limits forgot about you.
That's all right.
I did not forget. I talked to the general for 5 minutes
in my ear.
Yes,
I did. You didn't say the general's on the line.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yep.
Nope.
Okay.
Go ahead, General.
I'm here either way.
So, I'm sorry to put you through this.
And Malkin are percolating. Probably be future Starkey's Card of the Week. This week, we're going with Najee Harris, rookie. Ooh. Prism autograph.
Man, I can imagine that card springing to life and just running through people. I mean, he was possessed in that game, General.
It was a red-hot card when he was drafted here in 21. Sort of atrophied a little bit over the last 2 years, but there's been a resurgence. This is a particularly interesting card. It's a Prism autograph.
Mm.
And all this talk about Christmas has me feeling in a given mood. How about we throw in an Eli Holstein autograph card?
Ooh, well, I love that one. Don't leave that Najee card, you know, by itself at night. It'll be like Toy Story. It'll spring to life, and it'll start running around like a maniac. I love this guy. Sometimes.
Like we wanted him to, exactly right. So we got a Najee Prism rookie auto, and we're throwing in an Eli Holstein autograph rookie card.
You're one of the most wonderful men who has ever lived, General. Thank you.
You have a good week. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Thanks.